Well, good afternoon and good evening. This is Elliot Callan. I'm the president of Prosperity Financial Group, and I want to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. So today we have two very exciting gentlemen on. We have Russ Kalaitis and Jeff Wyckoff. They are co-managers of a very interesting alternative investment fund in San Francisco. And today we're talking about the world of alternatives. What the heck is an alternative? But we'll be having that conversation. And how does that fit in a portfolio? It's not quite a bond. It's not quite a stock. It's not quite some gold or silver or real estate and some other things that all get lumped into alternatives. But it could be very important in a portfolio that wants to generate income. So we're going to talk about that without being overly product specific. If you need to reach me, I'm at Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at Prosperity, F-G, that's P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y-F-G, like financial group, .com, www.prosperityfg.com. We've got so many people that have been watching these, 3,000 and some episodes, 4,000 on another one. Very exciting information. That's what these are designed for, to give you information. So Jeff and Russ, I want to welcome you to Meet the Expert.
Thanks, Russ. And thanks, Elliot.
Okay. So let me ask you a couple questions if I can. And then whoever wants to chime in, that's just great. That would be super. So why don't we start with what the heck is an alternative? And when I read the journal or I turn on TV or somebody walks in and said, oh, do you sell alternatives? Do you guys carry alternatives? That's such a broad category. I feel like you carry hammers or wrenches. What's an alternative?
An alternative is something that hasn't yet become a standard in the portfolio. I mean, at one point, stocks and bonds were alternatives to corn crops and cows. And so typically, you know, as civilization, as markets advance, new things come out that become later on essential parts of your portfolio. So an alternative is simply something that has a positive expected return that can be added to your portfolio like stocks and bonds.
Okay, and then these are designed to zig when the market zags and zag when the market zigs. And do they really do these things, these alternatives?
Depends on the investment. We believe that certainly there are alternatives that do exactly that. There are other alternatives that are just an alternative way of losing money. I think that just as there are stocks and bonds. So I think the term alternative to your earlier point is a very broad one. And it's best to just look at specific areas and how they can complement a diversified portfolio.
Okay. And then in the world of alternatives, and I know there's gold and real estate and metals and oil and gas, and there are lots of things in there. Mm-hmm. And very confusing market from shorts to longs to a piece of real estate that is producing income to one I just want to write off and put a Burger King on it or whatever we're going to do. So when we're talking about this, we're probably talking about risk, things that affect the risk that somebody's willing to take. Right. So do alternatives in general lower risk, raise risk, or either?
Well, you know, there's a lot of jargon around financial risk. In the end, though, the risk is not having your asset when, where, and how you need it. And I think it's pretty intuitive to know that if you have a diversified portfolio of assets and all of them have positive expected returns and they're uncorrelated to each other, then that's going to be a good thing. So, yeah, I think that to your earlier point, you want everything kind of zigging and zagging in different directions, but in a general trend upward. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. And of course, it's a complicated subject that we're talking about on that. So if somebody were to call me up tomorrow, and I know this has nothing to do with what you market, and said, I want to add gold to my portfolio, which I'm not a big fan of, but it's going up right now, no question about it. Whether it's GLD or I'm buying coins or I'm watching a commercial on TV for, you know, my future children, or grandchildren, or their children. Am I buying an alternative?
You know, as I said earlier, everything's an alternative because everything's an alternative to each other. If you're saying that the only options are stocks and bonds, then everything's an alternative to it. Again, I think it's just We try to put things into the context of things that aren't stocks and bonds. And so, yeah, gold is not a stock or a bond. I don't know, to your point, if it's one that I would call much of an alternative, but sure. Yeah. I don't know. Russ, what do you think?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just as you said, I think, you know, an alternative is anything other than stocks and bonds in our current vernacular. But, you know, I think in composing a portfolio, what I think the optimal approach is to find assets or asset classes that complement each other. And so you can add gold or silver or lead or whatever you want, but I think it seems the key really is to look at what assets you've got in your portfolio, what you need, what you're lacking in your portfolio, and add that. And inevitably that third thing will be an alternative because stocks tend to move together and bonds tend to move together. And so if you want something to balance it, it's going to be something outside of those two main pillars.
Okay. And I know in your world, you work in probably the most complicated area that I know of, and that's the option world. And I don't want to really dig into the weeds here for clients, but from your point of view, options is really how you make extra money for clients. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So for me, if you ask me, hey, Elliot, should we buy a call on Amazon? So we wanted to buy and sell a put on IBM. That's already 50% of the people that listen to this would have no idea what I'm talking about. But that's kind of what you do, isn't it?
In essence, we don't do it on single stocks. We do it on broad portfolios or what are called indexes.
So are you making a bet? And I'm a little bit of a craps player. So, you know, you can play with the house, you can play against the house, you play with the shooter, you can bet against the shooter. Generally, do you find yourself betting with the house, which always wins? They build these new casinos for the losers, not for the winners. But do you bet with the house or do you bet with the shooter in your case?
Well, I'd say we are the house. Thankfully, the way the market is constructed, you have that choice. You can be the insurance company, which is effectively the house.
Okay. And so we also know, gentlemen, that it's really hard with 0% interest rates today to make any money. My equity clients have made all their money back and then some for this year for what happened in March and April. And my bond clients, none of them have. And so they're all behind a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit. Some of them are behind significantly if they were mortgage-based bonds. But so in your world, since you are an income-based product, how can you help out my conservative clients that are trying to get extra yield or extra income?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we're necessarily an income-based product, but it's easier to understand that through the lens of, you know, making incremental gains. I mean, as it happens, our profits are treated as capital gains, which are preferential to income. So that's nice. I think that our gains or our profits come from the uncertainty in markets, and just like insurance companies do. So, you know, an insurance company like Geico needs to take more in premium than it pays out in claims. And the same exact thing is true with the options market. In fact, that's what they call what you receive when you sell an option, the premium. So over time, you are the house, you are the insurer, and you're going to make that net profit above the potential losses or claims that will be inevitably happen over time.
Okay. Let me switch gears for a moment, gents, and talk about what's going on in the political world and how you can take advantage of that. So we know today there's an urban upheaval going on. There are protests. Those protests have turned into some riots. We have an election coming up in November, just 99 days from today. Scary things are happening. There's going to be change out there no matter what. So October traditionally has been, I don't know if it's the most volatile month of the year. If you throw August in there and October, certainly those are probably the two most volatile months of the year. And sometimes they're not, and sometimes they are, but this is the most unusual of all years with a shutdown, an election, the potential for a major party shift, the hard pull from the left to add more socialism. What is an October surprise? Should we be leery of this? And then how do you smooth that out versus stocks that, you know, could be in for a wild ride of their lives? What do you think, guys?
Well, I think you're right. October is a very volatile month, and it's clear that I think everybody knows that there's a presidential election coming up and potentially going to be contested. And I think, though, that one of the things that people maybe miss is just how much of a convergence of different events are focusing all in October. For example, the Conference Board is going to come out with its October report for GDP growth, which is a pivot time. Then you've got the second and third quarter economic outlooks that come out in October. And then you've got a majority of the big cap S&P 500 names that report in October. And then you've got the COVID-19 second wave projections, which come out in October. And then you've got all the relevant polls that are going to speak to who potentially is going to become president in October. And then, to your point, you've got the October surprises, which are seem to happen in every presidential cycle. So I don't know if it's much of a surprise anymore, but are potentially politically catalyzed events that were unforeseen and can drive the markets one way or the other. And then lastly, you have the seasonality effect, which frequently happens because September is the fiscal year end for mutual funds, and they're going to be doing a lot of tax loss harvesting and moving around the portfolio. And there's a lot of hedging that's done in October. So you have this convergence of events that may or may not happen every year, but they have a lot more meaning this year. And so the cost to insure is very high. And that's a potential opportunity for those of us who, you know, are in the option business and can monetize on the extra premium that one would receive for that uncertainty in October.
So it's an opportunity. Go ahead, Russ.
I was going to say that's right. And to Jeff's point, we've actually looked across the calendar landscape at what it costs to insure financial assets for each different month, July, August, September, October, November. And there's actually an increased cost in October relative to September and November. And so we're tracking that. And, you know, people in our industry are looking for ways to take advantage of that anomaly.
So I think of increased cost as costing an investor more money. But in this case, increased cost allows you to help the consumer, our clients, make even more money. Is that right?
Well, potentially, and not just that, but just that consumers should be aware that the market as a whole is expecting some significant activity in October that may not be expected to the typical investor.
So volatility, that up and down, that wild ride, that roller coaster, you know, ride that happened in March and April, is volatility your friend? Because it's certainly not our clients' friends.
I would say that over time, a very short period of time, volatility is the friend of option strategies. And that, well, you never know at what point it's going to be the most profitable, just like you don't know. Well, you know, stocks are going to go up over time. You don't know exactly when or where. But in general, volatility or uncertainty is beneficial to strategies like ours, which, to, I guess, your earlier question is, does it serve as a diversifier? Short answer is yes. If you have uncertainty and you benefit from uncertainty and that hurts stocks, that's a good thing. And where once upon a time that used to be good for bonds, you know, I think it, you know, 1.3% or 4% yield on the 30-year bond is probably not going to offset nearly as much risk as it has in the past. So people need to have alternatives or other sources of return in their portfolios.
Great. Well, confusing subject, I get it, and it's a hard subject. And I know the complaint about alternatives in general is when a market just goes one direction, it just goes that way, they're a drag. But the market does what it did in March, you're thankful you have them in there. So it's all about kind of what's going on in the market. And, you know, unfortunately now we all think too short term, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, you can look at all the pundits on CNBC, and you know, I think we, in retrospect, realize that everything they say is that the perfect time to buy was yesterday, and in the end, you know, a long term prediction is just a short term one that failed, and we really don't know what's going to happen in the near term, but in the case of portfolio insurance markets, options markets, we know that people with a lot of money have a lot of concerns, and that is good in general for strategies like ours.
Great. Well, so if people have questions, just reach out to me at Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, at prosperityfg.com. We use gentlemen like Russ and Jeff and to help us build portfolios that work for you, because there's no one way to make it work perfectly. We're trying to help you make money over time, both short-term and long-term. And these gentlemen have found creative ways to generate more income using the option market. So gentlemen, to Russ and Jeff, I want to thank you very much for being part of Meet the Expert.
Elliot, thank you so much for having us.
And thank you, Elliot.
You're very welcome. And we'll see you again on another episode of Meet the Expert. Have a great day.